Welcome to Money Life. I'm Chuck Bentley, and we're delighted to have you with us on this journey today. In the studio with me is Sharon Epps, Executive Vice President of Content Media for Crown Financial Ministries. Sharon, glad to have you.
It's always a privilege.
Can you believe the year's almost over?
Not at all. I cannot believe we're facing 2010. Or is it 2010? I'm not sure.
Well, I'm going with 2010. I'm going to use 2010. It just seems to roll off my tongue that way. And I'm looking forward to it. This time of year is really sort of a regrouping time. You begin to reflect on all the things that happened last year and set some priorities and goals for next year.
Between Christmas and New Year's really is my favorite time of the year for that very reason. It's a time to really reflect on what God's given us.
And I feel like you get to decompress. You know, the major effort for Christmas is now behind us, and it's a time to relax and really to set your priorities for next year. And so it's a good time for us as well. Sharon, today we're going to talk about this topic of giving and generosity. And in my experience, when it comes up, people have one of three reactions. Oftentimes, you see a very immediate guilt reaction. People begin to feel bad because they're in financial bondage and can't participate in giving opportunities. And so they just really sort of clam up and tune it out. Have you seen that?
I have seen that in the counseling room so much. When I ask the question, what do you share that God has given you? Just immediately there will be a look on the face like a deer in the headlights, or I feel so badly or poorly, and almost a ducking of the head. You can just, they don't have to use words to answer. I can tell from their body language that guilt response.
And this is one that so many pastors experience when they bring up the topic, and they see people get very, very defensive, as if you're going to try to take something away from them. You know, their body language will be very skeptical, very disengaged. They just don't want to hear about it. And that's a common reaction. But another one we see is people that hear the topic, and it's an area where they respond with joy. They light up, they hear possible opportunities, and it totally engages them because they're in sync with the Spirit of the Lord that wants them to learn and grow in this area of generosity.
You know what? You hit the nail on the head when you called it the joy of generosity, because you see a sparkle in the eyes and you see an anticipation for what the Lord might do next.
Well, when we come back today, we're going to talk about common questions to this topic of giving and generosity. We're going to go through it in detail in hopes that it's a great encouragement to you as you prepare for 2010 and your own growth in this area. You're listening to Money Life. I'm Chuck Bentley. We'll be back with more from Sharon Epps on this topic of giving and generosity.
Want to use your home computer to help you manage your money God's way? Well, all you need is Crown Money Map Financial Software from Crown Financial Ministries. With Crown Money Map Financial Software, you can create a realistic spending plan and use a virtual envelope system to follow daily. And since it's based on the Crown Money Map, the software will help you build up your emergency fund, pay off debts, create balanced budgets, manage investments, and complete other steps that'll move you forward on your financial journey. Crown Money Map Financial Software is loaded with features to make living on a spending plan easy and secure, including the ability to import transactions from your bank so you don't have to enter them individually. Crown Money Map Financial Software is compatible with Windows, Mac, and Linux. For specific system requirements or for a free trial version, go to crown.org or call 1-800-722-1976 for more information. That's crown.org.
Welcome back to Money Life. I'm Chuck Bentley, and with me in the studio is Sharon Epps. Sharon, we're going to talk about the common questions regard to giving and generosity in hopes to help our listeners to grow and to be discipled and to be open. We hope none of them are feeling guilty or defensive, and they see this as an opportunity to get closer to the Lord, because truly giving is an expression of our love for the Lord, isn't it?
Like every other step of discipleship, it's one that we can grow in, and then there's one that we increase our abilities as we practice.
Sharon, the most common question, I would say the basic question, is should I tithe or should I just give what some people call a free will offering, or should I just give first fruits, or should I just give proportionally? And they take that conflict from the words of Paul, who wrote in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, "Now finish the work so that your eager willingness to do it may be matched by your completion of it according to your means. For if the willingness is there, the gift is acceptable according to what one has, not according to what he does not have." So the debate is this, that Paul took away tithing from the requirement of a believer. And here's how I like to answer that. I believe that's true, that under the old covenant, under the law, we were required to tithe by law. That was a command. Under the new covenant, God says that it is up to you to make that decision. It's between you and the Lord how much you give, but that the tithe is what he believes is the starting point. It's the best method, as Randy Alcorn calls it. It's the training wheels of Christian maturity. Start with 10%. And while we are free under the new covenant, I like to use the word tithe because people understand the word tithe. And they realize that it means, in our culture today, to give 10% of your income to the Lord. So, yes, I believe that tithing is certainly appropriate.
Well, it's so much like other biblical disciplines in that we see the practices that God required in the Old Testament, and yet because of the generosity of Christ, we have the opportunity to grow even more than those in the Old Testament were required to do.
Well, when you hear that, it engenders the very next question, because people start doing calculations and they think, oh my goodness, if the scripture expects me to tithe, then should I tithe on the gross or the net? Now, I wish more people would ask this question, Sharon, because the data shows that only about 8% of Christians actually tithe on their annual gross income. That's pre-tax. In other words, whatever you earn, that you calculate 10% of the gross, and that's what you give to the Lord. So this question is very, very common.
It is, and I wish that we had more people that were even close to the tithe. We have so many that are way below the tithe that aren't even close to being the net, much less the gross.
Well, Proverbs 3, 9, and 10 says that God has asked us to give of our first fruits. And so we believe that whatever it is that God gives us, we should give it to him first, and we should give him the best. So we interpret that to be a call to give on the gross amount of what God has entrusted to us. And in my view, that's the best way to calculate the tithe, to say, whatever I have, I want to give 10% of that to the Lord.
The principle of first fruits also helps you make decisions with unexpected income and even looking at the assets and other resources that God's entrusted to you, so that it's not just tied to your monthly paycheck, but you also look at what are the first fruits that I could offer back to God of everything he's entrusted to me.
Sharon, this next one is a big one. In fact, I've been asked this by an Associated Press reporter, and it's going to be fun to talk about it. Should a Christian tithe if they're still in debt?
And, you know, this one is one that I'd like to refer to a phrase that I just heard Charles Stanley speak a few days ago, and that is learning the difference between calculating and trusting. And it is very important that we honor our creditors. There's no question about that at all. But in the midst of that, we must demonstrate that our trust and our provision is from God and not from the calculations of man. So I would encourage you that when you are in debt, it is critical to give to God from your first fruits, just as it is in any other circumstance.
Well, we had the privilege in 2009 to interview Candy Hildebrandt, who gave her testimony of getting out of $106,000 of unsecured consumer debt over a 4.5-year period, and giving glory to the Lord that during that entire time that they continued to tithe because they wanted to prove to their children of God's faithfulness. And to me, when I hear those stories, I say none of us should have any excuse. And oftentimes that's what we're looking for. Now, from the eyes of the world, this reporter asked me, well, what if people are going to have their home foreclosed upon and they're tithing and they're losing their home and still giving to the Lord? Isn't that hypocrisy? And I said, you know, there are so few people that actually tithe, I don't think this is a really big problem, that those people are the ones losing their home. But it is important that we prioritize our life in order to make room in our finances for God to be first, and then to take care of everything else. And my view is, if your debt is so great that you feel like you can't tithe, then you need to change something else in your life besides the tithe.
And seek godly counsel, because many times you're so emotionally involved in those decisions, it's hard to see other possibilities. The next question is it okay to take my tithe money and put it towards biblical college tuition or a Christian school education? Wouldn't that be the same?
Well, pastors take great exception to that interpretation, because it happens. I've known churches that have a school associated with their church or denomination, and people come and say, well, I'm tithing my income for the education. And here's what's wrong about that interpretation, is that you're getting something in return for that. And true biblical giving is when you literally lay it at the apostles' feet and you allow somebody else to determine how those resources are going to be used. You relinquish control of it into the hands of other godly servants or ministers of the Lord, and then they steward it, they use it for the purposes that they've been entrusted with it.
Well, and you know, when you do lose control, it reminds you that it was all God's in the first place, not only the amount that you gave, but the part that you're continuing to steward.
Well, I've even had pastors say that they're tithing of their time because they're in ministry, and therefore they don't tithe of their resources. And I think that's wrong, too. The Lord truly wants us to give up and allow somebody else to take the first fruits and to use them for his kingdom. Well, today's topic is common questions around giving and generosity, and we're going to continue this right after the break. You're listening to Money Life. I'm Chuck Bentley, and we'll be right back.
It's unlike anything you've ever experienced. Crown Financial Ministries is proud to introduce God Provides, a new film learning experience featuring Golden Globe nominee Dean Jones.
What if God told me to do something I did not understand?
Through epic storytelling, this series of six short films presents timeless illustrations of God's never-failing ability to provide for his people. See the hand of God at work in engaging biblical stories that remain true even today in making life decisions. With each film, you'll receive a companion guide with discussion questions and activities to use with your family or a group. God Provides is available now at crown.org or by calling 1-800-722-1976. To learn more about the films, visit crown.org/God Provides.
Welcome back to Money Life. I'm Chuck Bentley here with Sharon Epps, and today we're answering your questions, the common questions that we receive on the topic of giving and generosity. And we hope this is helpful to you as you look out into 2010, the new year's around the corner, and you begin to make plans to hopefully increase your generosity in the new year. Sharon, we get all kinds of questions here, and certainly some of them are pretty tricky, but I don't think this one's very tricky at all. Could the tithe money be used to support secular organizations, other good causes, besides giving to the church or to the advancement of God's kingdom?
You know, the Lord's pretty clear that He would desire to have our first fruits. And when you give to secular organizations, you don't have the benefit of it multiplying God's kingdom. So the first fruit principle really applies here.
You know, if you look at it from a macro level as well, Sharon, the annual charitable contributions in our country approach about $300 billion, which is a huge number. But over the last 20 years, the percentage of that that's going to advance the local church and God's work is actually decreasing. So God's getting a smaller share of the overall piece of the pie year in and year out. And I believe that God wants that tithe to go to support His kingdom, His work, and things associated with advancing His own name and glory. And then if you want to support other good works, do it after you've tithed.
Well, and you know, the things that of God are those that take over into eternity. And so they are investments in people and the care for people, both for their souls as well as their physical bodies. And that's what's really critical when you look at it through the lens of what will last forever.
You know, this is a question we've received a lot in the past, but we're certainly not getting it very often right now. Should I tithe from the profits of the sale of my house?
Well, you know, believe it or not, in this economy, there are still pockets where people are able to sell their home at a profit. And you might even expand this question to the sale of your business or the sale of some other asset. And the answer is still the same, that profit is still considered an increase. And when you have an increase, the Lord has laid out the principle that you give from that increase.
And along those same lines, Sharon, we get questions about inheritance. People believe that it's not money they worked for, therefore they think it's exempt from the tithe, but it's the same kind of thinking. If it's money that's come into your life and it's an increase in your income, we believe that it's honoring to God and it's appropriate to actually give on every source of income, even if it's birthday money. I mean, it's money you did not have before. God's provided it in some unique way. Then give and give joyfully.
Well, let me venture out here for just a minute in this whole concept of giving from the increase. What better thing could you do with something that you received that you didn't earn than to invest it in the kingdom and into God and His purposes? And so that's really where we're talking about moving to the joy of generosity. I began to see that the assets that I'm investing in will make a difference not only for my lifetime, but my children's lifetime and on into heaven.
Well, here is one that we're getting more and more of. If my parents are in great need or members of my family, can I give a part of my tithe money to help them? Great question, because the Bible also tells us that if we don't take care of our own family, that we're worse off than an unbeliever. And I think the intent of Scripture here is that we have a portion of money that truly is set aside for God's purposes. I think it's designated to advance the church and to allow other people to direct its use. And if you have no other resources to give to the Lord and you have to take away from your tithe to help your parents, certainly help your parents and your family. But the better solution, the better way, is to tithe first to the Lord and then use resources to help family members directly. Because what you don't want to do is to create a dependency with any family member, whether it's your parents or your children, so that you can truly give as God intended.
And, you know, oftentimes when we get this question, people reference Matthew 15, where Jesus condemned the Pharisees for giving their possessions to God while their parents were left in need. But if you look at that broader context, it's the context of the Pharisees following the letter of the law versus the heart of what God wanted.
Well, this one is far too common. Should I tithe on alimony or child support from my ex-husband? Alimony is different than child support. Alimony is actually income, and we think that's appropriate to tithe from it. But child support actually belongs to the children and should not be considered income or increase in your budget. So I wouldn't view that as money that you should tithe from. You agree with that, Sharon?
I do. Child support really serves to follow and take care of the expenses of the children. However, I will say, again, you will be blessed as you do have increase that you view it as a candidate for first fruits. So if you're able, it's absolutely wonderful if you are able to tithe off your child support as well.
You know, I had an interesting question. A person wrote me and said they were living on Social Security and their husband doesn't believe that they should tithe on that income because they already have. And you know what? They were right. They have previously tithed, if they've been tithing on their gross annual income, and that money that's coming back to them that was taken out of their paychecks over those years, they truly have already tithed. And I said, the question I would ask your husband is this: would you like to tithe again? So according to the letter of the law, certainly, but we're not under the law.
Right.
But to have the joy of continuing to give unto the Lord as you're able, I think it's a good idea if you have the resources to do that.
And of course, the principles in the Word are that you give regularly, you give give cheerfully, and it's also a great witness to those in your community.
Well, Sharon, another big one that we get here is, who should I help? Who should I be giving to? And we want to tackle that one when we come back. You're listening to Money Life. Today, I'm talking with Sharon Epps. We're covering the topic of giving and generosity, going through some of the common questions that we receive here on the program, and we hope to help you get prepared to live generously in 2010. I'm Chuck Bentley. We'll be right back.
Moms these days are busier than ever, working hard, taking care of things at home, making sure your children get to all the places they need to go. Often the only downtime is waiting to pick up a child from school or practice. Did you know that while you're sitting in your car, you could be taking care of your family's finances? You can with Crown Envelopes, the online and mobile money management solution from Crown Financial Ministries. It's the anytime, anywhere way to manage your money and eliminate debt. With Crown Envelopes, you can use your laptop or cell phone to easily and securely access your budget and actually plan before you spend. There's even a free trial. Find out more about Crown Envelopes by logging on to crown.org. Don't let your busy schedule keep you from managing your money wisely. Look for a free trial of Crown Envelopes at crown.org.
Welcome back to Money Life. I'm Chuck Bentley here with Sharon Epps, wrapping up our program today on giving and generosity. We started out talking about the different reactions that people have to this whole topic. Some react with guilt. Some get defensive. Some feel like it's just complete legalism. And the Lord calls us to give generously and cheerfully and with thanksgiving and gratitude for what He's provided for us. And many people see it as a privilege, as a great expression of their love for God. And Sharon, my hope is that as people contemplate their own heart attitude, they see giving as their opportunity, and they hear of ways to grow and increase in their giving. We've talked about tithing. We've talked about giving to the church first, but there's obviously other opportunities, and let's go through some of those, Sharon. Who are some of the other people that should qualify for our benevolence, for our charitable contributions?
You know, biblically, one of the groups that's highlighted is widows and orphans and single parents. James 1:27 says, "Pure and undefiled religion in the sight of our God and Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself unstained by the world." And I find that there's huge blessing in helping, being a father to the fatherless as we serve them.
Well, amen to that one. The scripture also tells us to serve prisoners and their families, that when we do so, we're actually serving the Lord Himself. That's a place we should consider for our charitable giving.
That second group is really important, as well as this third group, and that is those who are in need in a foreign land. You may consider adopting a child through Compassion or another ministry that you're able to help support.
Well, and then fellow brothers and sisters in Christ, those who are possibly in fellowship with us at church, we need to be on the lookout for helping them as well.
Galatians 6:10 says, "While we have the opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who are of the household of faith."
And I certainly hope that you're including Crown Financial Ministries in your giving plans as you close out 2009. You know, between now and the end of the year, over 25% of our annual income will typically arrive, and it makes a huge difference to have every single person do something. Many of you may have been listening for years and years and years. You've never realized that we were listener supported. You never realized that we needed financial partners. And maybe you've been blessed by this ministry and God's put it on your heart to become a financial partner. And I want to invite you to do that this year. And would you do it now and meet this very special challenge that we've been given?
You know, you can do that by going online to crown.org, and we've tried to make it easy for you. We actually have a button at the very top of the page that helps you navigate through your giving opportunity.
Well, just remember that every gift will make a difference, and you can go online now at crown.org and make a gift of any amount. Well, on behalf of Sharon Epps and all of us here at Money Life, I'm Chuck Bentley. Thanks for joining us. We'll be back again tomorrow.